Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Tracy McClure. Thanks for joining me. Coming up today, Pope Benedict crowns a masterpiece of Spanish ecclesial architecture, consecrating Barcelona's Sagrada Familia on the last leg of his two-day pastoral visit to Spain. Our correspondent there tells us all about it. And looking ahead at a moving visit by the Pope to a Catholic home for young people with disabilities in Barcelona. Its spiraling towers sweeping upwards are an unforgettable icon of Barcelona's skyline. The Art Nouveau architect Antoni Gaudí's Sagrada Familia, or Holy Family, finally became a basilica after some 130 years of construction. On Sunday, Pope Benedict XVI consecrated the structure, which is yet to be completed. Lydia O'Kane is with the Pope in Barcelona. She tells us more about the papal mass.
On Sunday morning, to the chiming of bells, Pope Benedict XVI left the Archbishop's residence in Barcelona, making the journey to the expiatory temple of the Sagrada Familia, a structure that has been under construction since 1882. Again, as in Santiago de Compostela, people lined the routes to this church with banners and waved Vatican, Catalan, and Spanish flags. There were even balloons which were launched into the sky in the colours of yellow and white. Countless years and thousands of hours of work have gone into bringing Gaudí's masterpiece to this stage, and even the last-minute preparations for this consecration by the Pope had been painstaking. The Sagrada Familia is not due to be finished until 2026, but on this Sunday in Barcelona it looked breathtaking both inside and out. At exactly 10 a.m., Pope Benedict entered this soon-to-be basilica, a place where art intertwines with faith. Light shined down from the temple's sculpted ceiling and penetrated its stained glass windows, and the Pope, dressed in gold, walked down the nave's glistening new marble floor in front of 6,500 guests, including the King and Queen of Spain. It seemed at this moment that amidst cheers and applause that the Sagrada Familia had really come to life. Following a greeting by the Cardinal Archbishop of Barcelona, Luis Martínez Sistac, the man who had devoted much of his life to this temple dedicated to the Holy Family, Chief Architect Jordi Bonet, addressed the Pope in Catalan.
Santedat, em plau de mostrar la joia de tots els que hem treballat per aixecar aquest temple, per la vostra presència.
Then the Pope gave this temple the key to its door. Whereas the Pope, during his time spent in Santiago de Compostela, had focused on the themes of pilgrimage and Christian identity, his words for this consecration of the Sagrada Familia and its altar fittingly concerned the family, beauty, and the importance of Jesus as a rock.
El único Cristo funda l'unica iglesia. Él es la roca sobre la que cimienta nuestra fe.
He began his homily expressing his joy at being able to preside over this ceremony and his happiness that this shrine has a special relationship with Saint Joseph, being of course part of the Holy Family. The Pope described the temple's visionary architect, Antoni Gaudí, as a man who, as a practicing Christian, had kept the torch of his faith alight to the end of his life.
Antoni Gaudí, architetto genial e cristiano conseguente, con la antorcha de su fe ardiendo hasta el término de su vida.
And a man, he added, who made stones, trees, and human life part of the church so that all creation might come together in praise of God.
Para que toda la creación convergiera en la alabanza divina.
He continued by saying that beauty reveals God and it calls us away from selfishness, leading us to freedom. Drawing on the theme of building and creating, which has been such a part of the Sagrada Familia, the Holy Father called to mind Jesus being the stone which supports the weight of the world, and without Christ, the Church is nothing. The Pope also noted the importance of the timing of this dedication, saying that it comes at a time when man claims to live his life without God. But he added, with this masterpiece, Gaudí shows us that God is the true measure of man. In the latter part of his homily, the Pope turned his attention to the defence of the family and the dignity of the human person. He stressed that as well as technical, social and cultural advances, there also needed to be moral advances as well, such as assistance to families. The Holy Father brought home to the congregation the need to protect human life from beginning to end, the importance of marriage between a man and a woman, and the need for them to be supported in this role. Pope Benedict ended his homily in Catalan, asking Mary Most Holy to protect this house of God.
Desicio finalmente confiar all'amorosa protezione.
Before divesting himself of his gold vestments for the solemn rite of dedication, where he poured chrism oil on the four corners of the altar, turning this place of beauty into a place of God, wearing white robes. At the end of a truly memorable occasion, Cardinal Sistak raised into the air the certificate proclaiming this temple a basilica. Then Pope Benedict left this house of God by the door of the Nativity facade to recite the Angelus.
Hermanos y hermanas en nuestro Señor Jesucristo.
To those who had waited patiently outside, the Pope told them that it had given him great satisfaction to declare this church a minor basilica, a place where men and women of every continent can contemplate the facade of the Nativity. And he added that by creating this work, Gaudí sought to bring the gospel to everyone. With Pope Benedict in Barcelona, I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Well, what did it mean to the Pope when he was consecrating the Sagrada Familia? Vatican Press Office Director Father Federico Lombardi said he thought it was one of the most joyful moments in the life of the Pope.
I think that the celebration of Sunday morning was a moment of particular joy for the Pope, because the Pope is a man that loves profoundly the liturgy. The liturgy of the Church as the most important occasion in which the man can meet God and the community. And the celebration of the dedication of the Church is one of the most rich celebration of the Catholic liturgy, with an incredible number of meanings, of signs, that are very, very expressive. And the Pope was surely very happy to celebrate this in this church that expresses in a unique way the synthesis between art and faith. And the Pope desires to have a good language, a profound language, a rich language to express the faiths. And the arts are the sources of these languages. And what Gaudí has done, and also the other architects after him, is exactly to express the faiths, the scripture, the liturgy, in a very rich way, using the different stones, the materials, the different genre of arts in a very creative way. And to be in such a place and to celebrate such a liturgy, I think is for the Pope one of the most joyful moments in his life as Pope.
Mm. Father Enda Murphy of the Pontifical Irish College in Rome explains the significance of the rite of consecration of what, until now, has been one of Barcelona's main tourist attractions. Now, he says, tourists and pilgrims will have to be aware of the sanctity of the place they visit.
It is an important moment. It's quite a public statement that this building, this space, is marked off as a special place for the worship of God, for the sacred celebration of the sacred mysteries. And I think that's a very important step, and I think it will also give the extra encouragement and enthusiasm to those involved in the actual building to see it has come to this stage. And, you know, there's a little bit of the road left to be travelled. But I hope that in doing this rite of dedication, that people, certainly they'll still go there to see it and to be tourists, but that also it'll give the opportunity maybe to maybe deepen their understanding of what was Gaudi's vision of what he wanted to do, because he wasn't building it just to be a great tourist attraction. He was building it to be a temple.
Because he was a man of faith as well.
Very much so, and he actually lived there when it was being built, and I think he was unfortunately killed crossing the road outside it, knocked down by a tram. So it was this was the last great work of his life. This is what he wanted it to be, a temple to the Holy Family, but a temple where God would be worshipped and praised, where the church would gather to worship and praise God. And you know, that's reflected in all the architecture. You know, I think there's supposed to be something like 18 towers when it's going to be finished. 12 of those represent the 12 apostles. Another 4 will represent the evangelists. Another 1, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then the centre tower, which isn't built yet, will represent Christ himself, surmounted by a huge cross. So a lot of that work is still to be done, but this place is set aside for the worship and praise of God. And while we might come to wonder at the architectural marvel and beauty of it all, what it's trying to lead us into is to wonder and marvel at the beauty of God and what he has done for us.
Finishing the Parc Güell in 1911, Gaudí vowed to abandon secular art and devote himself entirely to the Sagrada Familia. He worked on it tirelessly for over 40 years, living as a virtual hermit in a workshop on the site. Nevertheless, it remained unfinished at Gaudí's untimely death in 1926, when the artist was run over by a tram on the Gran Via. Well, Lydia O'Kane spoke to art historian Dr. Joan Barclay Lloyd and asked her to take us through the monumental work, explaining the significance of its symbolism. But first of all, she asked, why is it called an expiatory church?
I know is that it was the Spiritual Association of St. Joseph that wanted to have this church, and they were a new association of the faithful, I guess, and they wanted to call it the Expiatorial Church of the Holy Family. Expiatory means atoning for something. So they thought that the Holy Family was not honored enough, so they really wanted to honor the Holy Family. And I suppose St. Joseph being an important part of the Holy Family, they thought of their patron as part of the Holy Family. And so they wanted to build a church in honour not only of St. Joseph, but of course of Mary and Jesus as well.
Now, for people who haven't been, it's a massive structure and on a very grand scale. Perhaps you could just take us through the grandness of the Sagrada Familia.
Yeah, it's really one of the biggest buildings in Barcelona in a way. It's 95 metres long and 60 metres wide. And Gaudí imagined that it could hold a church congregation of 13,000 people, which is a large crowd. And it's also very high, tall, and it's a massive structure, even though sometimes today visitors are very impressed that it looks a bit like a building site because they're still building it.
Looking at Gaudí himself, what did this architect want to achieve? Because when you look at these structures, the columns inside, inside, they're very close to nature.
Mm. Yeah, they. One of the first things one notices when you go inside is like a forest of columns. They look as though they're trees, and they even have branches. They seem to branch out towards the centre of the nave, towards the aisles. But actually they're very complicated in their structure. One person who explained it to me said that it was a bit like he was using, you know, the children's game of making a cat's cradle with string, that he was thinking of the form of the string when it falls and it makes these very unusual curves and so forth. Well, he was thinking of trying to make his columns follow some of those very complex geometrical shapes, which are not the normal geometrical shapes. And some of the columns at the base would be octagonal, but then they, or even square, and then they would become something much more twisted and different as they go up. And as I say, the general effect is that you're walking not into a church, but into some sort of natural forest where you have columns that look like trees and a canopy overhead.
Gaudí is buried in the crypt below this temple. He was a man of faith, wasn't he?
Oh, very much so. He is very famously remarked about his church that he was doing it for God and that his client was not in a hurry. He also went to Mass every day, and it was actually on his way to Mass that he was hit by a tram and he died as a result of the accident. Since he had already planned and started on the church, he was buried in the crypt of the church.
And of course, the process now towards beatification for Gaudí is...
I believe that's going forward. And he's very strong faith. And so therefore, it's also interesting to see within the sort of symbolism of the church that he has used many things to actually think not just of the church as a building, but also the church as the mystical body of Christ, with Christ, the Virgin, St. Joseph, of course, but also the apostles and so forth.
When you approach the Sagrada Familia, what do you see from the outside? What hits you?
Well, the thing that hits me most is seeing the towers, because they're these immensely tall towers. Now, they don't just go straight up like square bell towers. They call them spindle-shaped, but they sort of curved. And not only are they curved, but you can see through them. This is sort of a lattice work. And so you can see through the stonework of the towers. And then at the top of each tower, there is usually some object which has a symbolic importance. As you might know, Gaudí also did a lot of architecture for housing, and he also had strange shapes on top of his houses as well. So it's interesting to see that. But there are actually 18 towers altogether, which is a lot for one church. The central tower, which is planned to be 170 metres high, stands for Jesus. There's a shorter tower over the apse, which stands for Mary. And then around Jesus, there are four towers, which he planned to stand for the four evangelists. And each of them has the evangelist symbol, you know, the four symbols of the evangelists. That is the winged man for St. Matthew, the lion for St. Mark, the bull for St. Luke, and the eagle for St. John, on top of each of those towers. And then at the three main entrances, which are the three facades of the church, he has four towers, making a number of 12, which stand for the 12 apostles.
Also, when you're looking at the Sagrada Familia, what you also see is a very impressive bronze door with writing on it.
Yes.
Perhaps you could take us through that.
Well, yes, he uses writing on the door and on various other parts of the building, which connect with the liturgy of the church. So the Gloria, the the glory facade is going to have the whole of the Apostles' Creed on it, and also explanatory things about the virtues and the vices and so forth.
Do you think Gaudí was ahead of his time with, when you look at his work, when you look at the this particular church, and when you look around Barcelona and you see, you go, oh, that's a Gaudí. Do you think he was pretty unique, his style?
His style was certainly unique. I mean, it's still unique. In fact, it's taking such a long time to finish the church because his style had so many complicated kind of geometrical forms in it. But if you think of the time when he started, 1882, it was a time when most churches were Gothic Revival. So you would expect to see pointed arches and spires and so forth. But his work isn't like that at all. And so really, as a church, it has some features which are traditional, but it's also extremely idiosyncratic. And that's true of his other architecture too.
Vatican press spokesman Father Federico Lombardi tells us that throughout his Spanish trip, Pope Benedict reiterated the value of the family and the importance of charity, hallmarks of his pontificate.
These are points that are central also in this pontificate and in the magisterium of the Pope. He sees that in the Christian anthropology, in the vision of the human person and of the human society, the family has a pivotal function, is a central, really, because in the family the life is accepted, is generated and accepted, the person grows in love, and this is absolutely fundamental for the human life and for the Christian life. And the Pope knows how many risks there are for the family in the today's societies, and then he thinks that it is his duty to recall continuously also to the government, to the responsible people, that they have to protect, to help the family. And this happens also in this trip. And the Pope says always that the Christian faith has a practical dimension. The practical dimension is through the active love for the other, in particular for the little, for the poor, for the last people in the society. And then it is very important that in every trip, in every occasion in which the Pope present the message of the Church, there is also this dimension of the charity, of the practical love. But to be honest, this is always so.
Well, before taking his leave from Spain Sunday evening, Pope Benedict visited the church-run Obra Benefico Social Nendeo institute that provides health care and psychological support for children and young adults with disabilities. Ahead of the Pope's arrival there, Lydia spoke with religious and the support staff about the Institute's work and how the young people were eagerly looking forward to the papal visit. Attention for Pope Benedict's visit to Spain has been focused on the pilgrimage route of Santiago de Compostela and the Temple of the Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. There is another place that is busily preparing for this very special guest.
For the children, for the teachers, for the sisters, for the families, it's very important these days because it's a thing very special. It's a feel very fortunate.
The place in question is the Welfare Fund of Nendeu, or Baby Jesus. It is an institution of the Archdiocese of Barcelona and is devoted primarily to people with disabilities from infancy to adulthood, nestled quietly away, contrasting with the bustling streets of this vibrant city. The Institute was founded in 1892 and is run with the cooperation of the Franciscan Sisters of the Sacred Heart. Inside the headquarters of this modern building, doctors, nurses and teachers go about their daily work tending to the needs of their young charges.
I'm teacher in a school. I'm a special teacher because in this school in particular is a special school where many children with social problems and disabilities can live with their limitations.
Maria Angelis Maya is a teacher here and works with those with a range of different disabilities.
Another problems are problems with syndrome of Down, autistic and behavioural problems, and in your is about the disabilities in general.
The Institute offers services to children and young adults from the ages of 2 to 20 years of age, which also include child psychology, homeopathy, cardiology and speech therapy.
We all feel very fortunate because the visit of Benedict XVI is a privilege for us, and we are lucky to be the only school that Benedict XVI will visit during his visit to Barcelona. In the last weeks we are preparing everything and so we can welcome Benedict XVI, and in the classroom we're doing activities and preparing things for your visit, so don't miss any details.
During his visit to the centre, the Holy Father will bless the foundation stone of a new residence to meet the many requests received from parents with disabled children who want to leave their situation resolved if their children become orphaned and are without family. With Pope Benedict in Spain, I'm Lydia O'Kane.
And that concludes our special reporting today on Pope Benedict's two-day visit to Spain. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow for more on that trip. Also, do check out our website at www.vaticanradio.org for all the latest. I'm Tracy McClure. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Laudator Jesus Christus.